Lord, may be pleased to help me. I venture to direct you to our reading, Genesis chapter 22. And I will try and read a few verses that is from verse 5 down to verse 8. Genesis chapter 22, we will read verses from 5 to verse 8. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Well, the word that I trust the Lord gave me this morning was really in both verses 6 and in verse 8. But in verse 6 we read, and they went both of them together. And then in verse 8, so they went both of them together. But what a momentous the matter this was that took place here. I say this because of God's divine purposes. For as in our reading, we read that in blessing he says, I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Therefore, it was a most vital and important event that took place here. But it was necessary that Abraham, the father of the faithful, should take his son, his only son, and offer him up for a sacrifice. And it was indeed to Abraham a great trial of faith. You see, dear friends, even that through the nations and to the people of God, God's purposes become to them a great trial of faith. He was called by God, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee there into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell thee of, thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. You see, as you know, it had been to Abraham and Sarah a great trial of faith, that in their old age, beyond human possibility, they were to be given this son. And here was a further trial to Abraham to offer up his son, his only son, he said, whom thou lovest. Well, I don't want to come to this perhaps at this time, but we read that God sent his son into the world to be the Saviour of the world. Oh, he sent his only begotten Son, the Son of his love. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice to God the Father. What a sacrifice to God the Son. Oh, yes. And all these things are foretold in this portion here. So much depended upon this. We know it was God's work, that nothing could overthrow it. God has said, I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall overthrow it? Who shall prevent it? But it necessitated the trial of the faith of a man whom God had called. And here he was. I just want to mention perhaps a few things as help. We notice that he said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That was faith, wasn't it? And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And he takes the wood of the burnt offering and lays it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. They went, both of them, together. You see, we know, dear friends, that it sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. For we read later on how that, we read this. I know now that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. You see, here was a burnt offering. Here was a burnt offering, setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ as that one offering for sin. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, there was a substitute. I always remember Mr. Short of Chippenham. He used to speak very often of the substitute. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. To this day. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it should be seen. So, beloved friends, all these things contain so much truth to God's family, who are the seed whom the Lord will bless of the nations. Because it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the mount of the Lord it should be seen. He called it place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it should be seen. Beloved friends, have you seen the Lord's hand in your life? Have you seen a little of what this means concerning the trial of faith? Have you seen what it means concerning the laying down of the life of the Son of God? The sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice. You see, all God's people, in their way, in a little way maybe, have to know something of this chapter, what it really means. But what I said to you, what came to me really was this, and they bent both of them together, so they went, the both of them, together. I don't know what it means. They went both of them together. You know, it may touch marriage. And they went both of them together. It may touch baptism. it may touch going before the church. And they went, both of them, together. You see, here really is a union, isn't it? A union. The Lord sets forth more than a natural union, it means also a spiritual union. So they went, both of them, together. And I do feel this, dear friends, that you know, even with a husband and wife, whatever it may be, when it comes to church membership, when it comes to making a profession, oh, it is nice when they can go together. You see, I don't want to speak personally, but I was baptized in 1960. My wife was baptized, I think, in 1963, I think it was. 1962. But nevertheless, you see, it's a good thing to go together. So they went, both of them, together. Here we find, don't we, in the Word of God, those who went together, such as Ruth and Naomi, they came to Bethlehem together. That in itself was God's purpose. That in itself spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God's work. It was God's foreknowledge that Ruth should come out of Moab, that heathen country, and be drawn by the love of God to Naomi, and they came to Bethlehem together. Oh, what it meant to Naomi, what it meant to Ruth. She came from a strange country, a people that she had not known hitherto. Oh, the love of God was in it. God's purposes of grace was in it. They came together. There was a spiritual bond. And what we have here in our subject, dear friends, is Christ and his church coming together. A spiritual bond. A union. In union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, thy saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Oh, how vital it is to be in union with the Lamb. This togetherness, this oneness, this unity. One God, one Father, one Spirit, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. A oneness, together, unity. Oh, there is so much in this chapter, dear friends, of the wonderful works of God and the purposes of grace to his people in this chapter. What it all meant. But what a touching scene it must have been. What a touching scene it must have been. When we read what we have read, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You see, they were both bound up together in the bond of life. What a touching scene it must have been. His dear father, Abraham, the faithful of the faithful, and Isaac as a sacrifice. And he takes up the knife. You see, dear friends, the Lord's people know the timing of thee. He tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening late, but he will never come too late. He has a knife in his hand. But you see, God was overruling this, you see. He stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. Oh, how Abraham must have rejoiced to have heard that voice from heaven. And how the Lord's people rejoice when the Lord speaks to them. But it may be that it comes so late. That is the trial of faith, you see. And he said, Here am I, here am I. Oh, he responded. Oh, now, here was an intervention, a divine intervention. But what is going to happen now? Oh, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now I know that thou fearest God. You know, dear friends, the Lord knows here are those who fear God. I'm persuaded that very many of us here fear God. Are there those who do not fear God? But he knows if we fear God, and he knows if we don't fear God. Now thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You see, it was obedience. Oh, how the Lord loves obedience. Peter writes, doesn't he, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, be so be ye holy. Yes. I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This is the trial of faith. I don't know what you're in, friend. I don't know whether it touches any here this morning, that there's something before you that God has called you to do. And it comes right up to this. Yeah. Lord, what will they have me to do? It's a trial of faith. What a mercy, friends, if the Lord is in it. The Lord is in it. The sacrifice is in it. Christ is in it. Christ formed in the heart the hope of glory. And they went, both of them, together. So they went, both of them, together. I go back. I know I do wander in my preaching, but I go back to, say, baptism and the candidate. The minister, they go down into the water together. You see, that brings me to Philip, doesn't it? Brings me to Philip. May he baptize a eunuch. They went down together. Philip was called to join himself to the chariot of the eunuch, who was reading, as you know, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and did not understand what he was reading. Understandest thou what they're reading? You read the word of God, my friend. Understandest thou what they're reading? He needed one to show him. How can I except some man show me? And you see, Philip expounded unto him the word of God. He showed him what that set forth in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And it, of course, it opened his eyes. he could see what it meant. You know, the Word of God is often a closed book, isn't it? And when the Lord opens our eyes, then we can see what it means. My thoughts go now to the two on the Emmaus Road. They were together, weren't they? And they communed together upon the things that had happened. Oh, you know, and I've probably said before, you know, many of the old saints, they used to commune together. They would talk together of what the Lord had done and their hopes and fears and so on. It was lovely to hear spiritual conversation, although I did not hear much of it. And I remember a late pastor said to me, I may have said this before, he said, do you remember anything your dear mother said? And I mentioned to him how that Mrs. Dan from Hampden Park used to come and have a cup of tea on her way to catch the bus. And she'd call in and have a cup of tea. You know, they used to speak together. But on one occasion that I've never forgotten, and it was this, fear not, only believe. I think, was it Mr. Ramsbottom was reading on the subject perhaps on Thursday? Fear not, only believe. Well, I told the pastor and he said to me, I remember the very day, July 1943, he remembered the day. You see, dear friends, this is the work of God. But you won't find many that you can talk to today. Because I think Mr. Ramsbottom said, did he not, there seems to be a deaf and dumb spirit today. Many are held in bondage. Oh, my friends, you know, a soul that is held in bondage will long for liberty. Ah, the hymn says, the way of liberty is found, the sun shall make you free. And if the sun shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You know, one of the most blessed things to a child of God is to know liberty. Oh, how tied up you might be in your mind, in your heart. You cannot come forth. Oh, but you want the Lord to break that, don't you? Break down these bonds. Oh, vain the watch, the stone, the seal. Christ has conquered death and hell. You see, liberty is an expression of the resurrection of Christ. And ye shall know the Son, and the Son shall make you free. And if you know the truth shall make you free. I believe one of the most blessed things to a child of God is liberty. One of the most painful things it is to be bound. And sometimes you know you're bound by Satan, bound down with twice 10,000 ties, yet let me hear thy call, my soul in confidence arise and break the wall. Now that's liberty. So, you see, and there were other things, weren't there, in the Word of God? They're coming together, the two on the Emmaus Road, as I said. They were speaking, communing together the things of God. And you know, the Lord was near him, the Lord was near them. For Jesus himself went with them, but he withheld his identity to them. They didn't know who he was. Jesus himself went with them. but their eyes were whole and they could not see him. This is often a path, you know, to walk, and this is a venture of faith. You're communing together, you have that sweet communion in your soul, but you do not feel the presence of the dear Lord really as you would. But of course we know, don't we, that they talked together the things that had happened. Jesus drew near and went with them. Their eyes were whole and they could not see. But you see, the Lord explained it all. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. All the things that are wisely hidden, and yet bring the things that are seen. I was reading recently that beautiful word of Job. In all his trial in the 19th chapter we read recently, the things that he said in the 19th chapter, and yet probably one of the most well-known words came forth from his lips. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Who shall I see for myself and not another, though my reins be consumed within me? You see, he had faith. Oh, God broke through his trial, his great need, his loss. He saw Christ by faith. Here is the showing of Christ by faith. You see, the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. As I said, Mr. Short used to speak of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, and he used to speak of a ram caught by his horns. A perfect ram. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, and he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That is, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Well, just to sum up things, perhaps, friends, what it means, then, is the trial of faith. What it means, then, that you must venture upon him as hell. And then you will receive the blessing. You will receive the hell. But our text says, doesn't it? And they went, both of them together. So they went, both of them together. It sets forth, doesn't it? Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, not only his death and resurrection, it all says before being united to Jesus the vine. We have strength and righteousness too. But this he will teach us in time. Without him, we nothing can do but united to Christ. And united to a people. Like Ruth, she was coming to a people that she did not know heretofore. We see the Lord was in him. You see, dear friends, the bounds of our habitation are fixed. You know, some of you, where you were brought up, and I don't speak of myself, but I was brought up from a babe, really, into this house of God, and in the Sunday school there, as some few here know, that we used to have the shutters down and during the service. You see, we can all remember these things. But has it ever left any effect upon us? There is one thing that I remember when sitting there. Sadly, I didn't remember very much. The one thing I do remember was Mr. Jabez Field of Blackboys. He used to come here once a year to preach, and I think our pastor, late pastor, used to go to Blackboys. They exchanged pulpits. And I always remember his text. I can't remember what he said, but I always remember his text. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I shall never forget Mr. Field preaching from that word, friends. Well, so we have, don't we, this text. And I said, I felt, Lord, what can I say about it? I know our dear friend, the pastor here, will agree with me in that, and many of the Lord's servants will also agree with him. And they went both of them together. So they went both of them together. It all speaks of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's nothing sweeter, dear friends, than the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You can be united to a people, united to a person, even in the things of God. You understand each other. Well, may I just say this, dear friends, I believe that amongst our people, generally speaking, we understand one another. In a certain way. You know what I mean? In a spiritual way, in the things of God, we may be of different dispositions. We may come from different backgrounds. But in a sense, we understand one another. We all speak the same language, or should do. So they went, both of them, together. Oh, he has set the bounds of our habitation. Do you see, the Lord knows what is before us. Ah, Ruth had come to a people that she did not know heretofore. But the Lord was in it. Now, beloved friends, some of you will understand this, and you'll want to know, is the Lord in it? Is it the will of the Lord? Oh, I remember, and I may have said this before, Mr. Labour of Rotherfield, when he was blind, preaching at Uckfield, and he read down into that chapter with Braille, but this was his text, the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. It's all according to his divine will. He spoke of the decreed will of God. That's one thing he spoke of. He spoke of the permissive will of God. And I could never think of the third until I sat in Affington one chapel and it came to me, the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God. So, dear friends, I don't know why we have this morning. But you see, the Lord knows. You want to know what the will of the Lord is. To come to this, Jesus said, not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done. Oh, that cup that he took to drink, Father, it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thine be done. Oh, to be made submissive to the will of God. Takes a lot, doesn't it, to a proud heart, to a sinful heart, to a wayward heart, to be submissive to the Lord. Lord, submissive, make us go, gladly leaving all below. Oh, friends, have you left all for Christ? I don't mean you're going to shut yourself away, as some do, in some nunnery or whatever it is. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean, you desire to do his will. And you mean to be made conformed to his will. And you mean made to be submissive to his will. And you need to be willing to do his will. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. Thus make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. At last, be where my Jesus is, and rise to everlasting bliss. And really, this text, so they went both of them together. We see, so it will be forever with the Lord, together in heaven with the Lord. So they went both of them together. Well, friends, these are a few things that I've tried to speak this morning. Oh, may the Lord forgive anything I've said amiss, that, oh, if it be his will, may the word find a place in our heart and in our affections. Amen.